We're going to study the Bible tonight, and if you want to kind of get a head start tonight, and if you want to be turning someplace, I'd probably recommend that you go to the book of Ephesians. I think that'd be a great place to start tonight. And I want to continue our study last week on the most crucial division in the Bible. If you are listening tonight online, or if you're here in class live, we do have handouts, and we invite you to print the handouts or follow along with those online if you're listening. And then if you're in class, I know you have the handout in front of you. You've got some charts there, I believe, also. And so we want you to have those handy and have those ready to go tonight. We want to look at the most important division in the Bible. Now, last week I made the comment, and it's in your notes, that really when we talk about the most important division in the Bible for us today, for a church-age believer, it really would not be the division between Old and New Testament. Because we saw last week that both of those testaments or covenants were actually made with the nation of Israel. Now, let me make one thing clear. We are definitely affected by the New Testament. We are impacted greatly. The New Testament was actually promised 600 years before Jesus Christ showed up. The New Testament, or the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31, God said, I'm going to make this covenant, this new covenant, with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. And so it was promised 600 years before Christ. The New Testament, this was then made at Calvary through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not an animal sacrifice, which was under the old covenant, but a better sacrifice. It was founded upon the blood that was shed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The New Testament will be fulfilled when Christ returns in great glory. He's going to come back to this earth. He's going to rule and reign over this earth in a literal visible kingdom. And he's going to do that through, in and through, the nation of Israel. But the spiritual provisions of the New Testament impact us. We know that through Christ's shed blood, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we know that we are delivered from the law. The Old Testament we know wasn't made with us. It was made with Israel, but yet we're impacted. Because the law condemns all those who disobey it. Romans chapter 3. So while the Old Testament wasn't made with us, we know we're impacted in that it condemns us. Well, the New Testament, although it's not made with us, we know that we are impacted by it because Jesus Christ shed his blood. You and I can be delivered from the law, and we know that we can be fully forgiven of our sins. So, we minister the New Testament in the sense that we preach the finished work of Christ. We preach his blood that he shed for the remission of sins. We preach the fact that now the Holy Spirit can be given to us, and that we live by the Spirit instead of by the letter of the law. So, those spiritual provisions that come about because of the shed blood and that New Testament that was made at Calvary, we are impacted by that, and we minister the spiritual provisions of that today. But it is important to understand that the actual physical blessings, promises, and provisions of the New Covenant, Hebrews 8, were made with the house of Israel, and they still await their fulfillment in the future kingdom. Now, the way that we know how to minister, the New Testament today, the only reason we know how to minister it is because of the revelation of the mystery that God gave to Paul. You see, it's Paul's gospel and it's Paul's mystery that teach us how to minister the spiritual provisions of the New Testament today. So that's why I say that while we are impacted by the New Testament and by the Old Testament, the most crucial division for us today would be the division between the mystery that was given to Paul and prophecy. Now, let's just review just for a few moments before we dive into some new ground. What does Genesis 1:1 say, class? It says, in the beginning, God created the what? Heaven and the earth. So right away, we see a division in the first verse of the Bible. And we know that God could have said, in the beginning, God created the world or the universe, but He didn't. He said, God created the heaven and the earth. And the reason why God distinguishes that is because the earth would involve the subject of prophecy. That is, listen, one day Christ is going to come. He's going to rule and reign over a literal, physical, visible kingdom on this planet Earth with its capital in a literal city called Jerusalem. So we know that the channel through which He's going to reclaim this earth and by which He's going to reconcile this sinful earth to Himself, the channel that He's going to use will be the nation of Israel. Now, that program has been prophesied since the world began. Since the world began, God has been prophesying through the prophets that a Messiah, a Redeemer, is going to return to the earth and He's going to reclaim what was lost in Adam on this earth. And the governorship of the earth that Adam blew and he lost and he basically gave away to Satan, Christ is going to reclaim that. The vehicle or the channel through which He's going to do all this will be the nation of Israel. And that involves that new covenant that we talked about last week that He will establish with them when He comes back the second time. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we know God's plan for the earth has been prophesied since the world began. But let me ask you a question. Have the heavens also been tainted by sin? Have the heavens, now I'm not talking about the throne room of God, the third heaven, but have the heavens been tainted by sin? Yes, Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. We know that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high, that is, heavenly places. So we know that the heavenly places basically have also been tainted by sin. In fact, they are the base of operation for Satan. Satan's base of operations today is in the heavenly places. Now, those governmental positions that are currently under Satan, one day he will be cast out. Remember Revelation 12, where the Bible says that Satan is cast out of heaven and all of his angels are cast out? So there's going to come a day in which those heavenly positions that have been corrupted by sin will be vacated by Satan and his satanic host. And they will be booted out of those heavenly places. And God has a plan whereby He is going to reconcile the heavens to Himself. He's going to purge them and He's going to reconcile them under the dominion of Jesus Christ, just as He will the earth. Here's the difference. If you look up at the screen here and go ahead and click that, the mystery, go ahead and click it again. We know, and one more time, prophecy involves Christ coming back and ruling as a king over this earth. And that's great. We know God had a plan and God's talked about it since the beginning of the world. But now what Satan didn't know, Satan thought his position in the heavenlies, his base of operation, he thought that was safe. Because there is not a plan that God revealed to reclaim the heavens to Himself. So Satan's fighting over the earth, and he's thinking that base of operations in the heavenlies, he's thinking that's safe. But what he didn't know is that there was a mystery. There was something hidden in God from the foundation of the world. And God had a plan whereby He would also reconcile the heavenly places to Himself. And whereby the heavenly places would be purged from sin and would glorify and be centered in Jesus Christ. And so God has this plan, but it's a mystery. The Bible says God kept it secret. You're in Ephesians. Real quickly, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. In other words, He didn't get it from Peter, James, or John, or from the 12. He said that by revelation, He, God, made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been what? Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So there is this mystery, Paul said, that God kept secret. He kept it hidden. And the heavens would involve the subject of the mystery. Jesus Christ being head over a heavenly body, a new organism that he would create called the church, the body of Christ. And we as the church, the body of Christ, we will be the channel through which God is going to reconcile the heavens. Go back to chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and notice verse 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Notice we are the fullness of him, of Christ, that filleth all in all. You go down to chapter 2 now, look at verse number 6. It says, he's raised us up together, he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Go back to chapter 1 now, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the heavens involve the subject of the mystery. That is, there would be a people with a secret purpose, and it would be a secret people whose citizenship, Paul said, would be in heaven. Our citizenship's in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, we are raised with Christ, we are seated in the heavenly places, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and in the ages to come, we're still there, and we are demonstrating the riches of his grace out there in the ages to come, in eternity future. So you've got the mystery, and you've got prophecy. The mystery, it was information that was kept secret concerning us today. You've got prophecy, which was talked about since the world began. Now, if we go to that next chart, Donis, and notice, you've got this chart also, I believe, with your notes. And you notice that the prophetic program here that's been talked about since the world began, that God's going to reclaim the earth. Well, that's been talked about since the world began. So it's clicking right along. The Messiah comes, announces that it's at hand. Israel, the channel through which God's going to establish that new covenant in the earth, they reject Christ. He's crucified. But when he's crucified, he basically provides for a new testament, a new covenant for the nation of Israel. But it's interesting that Peter never even mentions that on the day of Pentecost when he preached to Israel. He never mentions it. And you see, Israel rejected it. Israel rejected that. And instead of, notice over here where it says God's wrath. You see, it was prophesied that when that was rejected, the wrath of God was going to come on the earth. That as the wrath of God came, there would be then a remnant within Israel that would be made willing in the day of his power. And when Israel, when that remnant accepted him and received him, he was going to come back And you'll notice the line coming down, the revelation. And when he comes back, that new covenant is finally fulfilled with the nation of Israel. So the prophetic program's ticking right along. But instead of the wrath of God coming, the wrath of God is withheld. And God withholds his wrath. And in Acts 9, he saves his chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus, who we know as, who is he? Who's Saul? Paul. And to Paul is revealed that there would be an interruption in the prophetic program. There's a, and boy, this made Satan mad. The mystery is revealed. And the fullness of the cross work and what was accomplished is revealed to Paul. And the fact that God now has a plan to reclaim the heavenlies, not just the earth, that's prophecy. That had been talked about. Satan knew about that and was trying every way in the world to try to undo God's plan for that. But what he didn't know was the plan, which would center in the cross work of Christ to reclaim the heavens. And that God would form a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. So right now we're living in that yellow parentheses where God has interrupted that prophetic plan. The wrath didn't come. By the way, is the wrath of God still going to come? Still going to come, but it's being withheld. It's been being withheld for the last almost 2,000 years. And this time that we call the mystery, this time that was kept secret, this new organism, this new man God forms called the church, the body of Christ, that's going to be the channel through which God's going to reconcile the heavenly places to himself. In your handout, I want you to look at your notes now. And it says the interruption in the prophetic program is the great mystery that was kept secret since the world began. You see, when the wrath of God was going to come, instead, God showed his grace. And in your handout it says, God set aside Israel temporarily, and he offered salvation to all of his enemies in the entire world through faith. Write that in the blank. Through faith in Christ's shed blood. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2, and let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye, it's about you guys, us, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look down at verse number 16. It says, and that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, look up here, class. When this occurs and God begins to reveal this mystery to Paul, What we begin to see here is that out goes the dispensation of Israel. What do I mean by that? God's no longer dealing with the world on the basis of that nation. For what? I mean, 2,000 years? 4,000 years? God has dealt with the world on the basis of that nation. Now, all of a sudden, that's not the case. God's not dealing with the world on the basis of the nation of Israel. But now, Paul says, we have the dispensation of grace. A glorious secret of grace that was hidden God from the beginning of the world. Now, what I want you to do is go to your next section in the notes. And I want to give you some truths here about the mystery time period that we're living in today. All right, let me give you some truths. Number one is this. The temporary fall and casting away of Israel. The temporary fall and casting away of Israel. Notice I said temporary. If we could go back real quick, Donis, to the... I tell you what, if you look at the chart, look at the blue chart I gave you, the blue one, and look at that blue chart and notice the yellow parentheses, all right? In that yellow parentheses right there, the time period that we're living in today, it was revealed to Paul, and the basic timeline's fine. Either one of those, Donis, is great. But in that yellow parentheses, it was revealed the prophetic program has been interrupted, and God is now dealing with individuals. He's not dealing with us on the basis of Israel. He's dealing with us on an individual basis through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each person in the world has to make a decision to either accept or reject what Christ did on the cross. I hope you've accepted what he did for you. Have you accepted it? Amen? I hope so. And you see, that's very important because in your handout it says, today there is no difference. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile in God's eyes today. There's no difference. A Jewish person, say somebody in Israel right now, if they want to be saved, they must be saved like a Gentile. Why? Because Israel has been cut off like the Gentiles today. They are alienated like we were. They are in need of a Savior. And so if a Jew wants to be saved today, they are saved like we are. They're saved by humbling themselves, admitting their sin, and admitting that there's only one answer for sin, and that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And they have to be saved like we do. There's no difference, Paul said. All right, Number three, the gospel of the grace of God is preached today as opposed to the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Today we preach the gospel of God's grace. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, did you know that the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is a phrase that's unique to Matthew? You won't find that anywhere else. The good news that Jesus and John the Baptist was preaching to Israel is that, hey, the Messiah is here. The long-awaited Messiah has shown up. And the kingdom that they were told to pray for that would come from heaven, the kingdom of heaven, from heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, they were looking for a heavenly kingdom to come to the earth. He said, he promised them back under the law, he would make make it as the days of heaven on earth. And so that's what the good news that was proclaimed. By the way, go back to the basic timeline chart real quick, Donis. And if you look at the basic timeline chart right here, if you look at that period after the yellow parentheses, where it says tribulation, we learn in Matthew 24, that's what the believers are going to be preaching then. They're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, in light of the cross, and that the cross, you know, they're going to preach the cross, they're going to preach the blood of Christ, but they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus told the 12 that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole earth right before he returns. So they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom before the yellow parentheses. They're going to be preaching the gospel of Israel's kingdom after the yellow parentheses. Today, are we preaching? If somebody today says, I want to be saved, what's the good news we give them? Do we tell them the good news that Jesus Christ is going to come and establish a kingdom on earth for them and it's coming at any time? Is that what we preach? No. What do we tell them? We tell them that Jesus Christ made a complete and full sacrifice for their sins, and if they will put their faith and trust in Him, God will save them and they'll become one with Jesus Christ. Amen, class? That's what we preach today. It's the gospel of His grace. See, and they will preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, let's go to number four in your handout. Number four, believers are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ today. In that yellow parentheses, believers are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, got that? And then let me give you the last one there. Jew and Gentile believers. Today, if you're a believer, you are baptized together in one body, and we are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. Go back to the book before Ephesians. Go to Galatians chapter number 3, please. Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse number 27. Galatians 3:27. Well, let's go up to verse 26, where it says, for ye are all the children of God by what? Come on, a little bit louder. We're the children of God by what, class? Faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that doesn't say by works? Amen. It says by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if you read the book of Galatians, you find out what we're heirs to. Not a literal, physical kingdom on earth. Paul never preached land area to the church. Okay? Whereas Israel's promises always were physical, visible, you know, involved land area, it involved peace, you know, there in Jerusalem. But rather, if you read the book of Galatians, Abraham was a Gentile, right, who trusted Christ. We know he was the father of Israel, but when God saved him, he was just a Gentile. Well, we learn that in the book of Galatians that what we're heirs to is that we're heirs to life and righteousness. Life and righteousness. That's what we're heirs to. We have life and we have righteousness as Gentiles who we had no promises. We had nothing coming to us. We had no promises. We had no covenants. We had nothing. And yet today, we're able to have eternal life. We're able to have God's righteousness as a free gift by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't that good news? Amen? And so that's so exciting, isn't it? I tell you, we're given a position in the heavenlies in Christ. And so what I want to do right now is I want you to go to that chart that I provided for you. And I told you last week I was going to give you this chart. And this chart is going to lay out for you very simply the differences between the prophetic program of God and the mystery. And it's going to lay out for you clearly the differences. They're not the same. And so we can't make them the same. They're different. They're very different. Now, look up here, class. I want you to envision with me, all right? I'm going to look up here like you. And I want you to look and envision, since we're over here on the left, prophetic program begins. God prophesies all the way back to Genesis 3 what He's going to do on this earth. The prophetic program is ticking along. God has a plan whereby He's going to reconcile the earth. He's going to reclaim it. And Christ is going to rule and reign. There's a plan to reconcile this earth. The plan to reconcile the heavenlies, Satan's base of operations, that hadn't been revealed. God, the whole time the prophetic program is being prophesied, that's kept secret. God kept it hidden, what He was going to do. The Bible says, had the princes of the world known it, and I believe I was speaking about Satan's princes, the princes of the power of the air, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What was accomplished on that cross, in light of the mystery for today, had Satan known it, he fell right into God's hands. God kept it a secret, and Satan, he basically sealed his own fate. He sealed his own doom. And so the prophetic program's ticking right along. And then all of a sudden now, instead of the prophetic program continuing and the 12 preaching the gospel all throughout the earth, and then the wrath of God coming, but Christ coming, instead of all that happening, which is what prophecy called for, you look at the yellow parentheses. God saves Paul, and He reveals to Paul a mystery that God had kept secret. Now, the prophetic program is going to be fulfilled over here with the yellow line coming down. It is going to be fulfilled. God hadn't forgotten that. He's going to reconcile the earth. But that mystery, mystery program of today, you see, it's different than the prophetic. And most false doctrine today, most false doctrine comes because people try to mix those two. And they'll take promises from the prophetic program concerning the earth, and they'll apply them to us. We're not an earthly people. We're a heavenly people. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, our hope is not the earth. Our hope is in heaven. Whereas a Jew wasn't looking to spend eternity in heaven. They were looking to spend eternity on the earth. With a Messiah who would rule and reign and who would rule the earth through them. They would be the head of the nations. They would be a source of blessing to all the nations. So a Jew is looking to live forever on earth, whereas we are looking to live forever in heaven. You see, there's a lot of differences, isn't there? And when you begin to mix these two, that's when you end up with false doctrine. Now, let me give them to you real quickly. Okay, number one, let's look at the left side of the chart. Prophecy, number one, it's concerned with an earthly kingdom and a political organization. An earthly kingdom, a political organization. Now, I've put some of the verses on PowerPoint for prophecy for time's sake. Because if we're running all those Old Testament references, we'll never get through it. All right? So, if you would, look at the screen and let me show you how prophecy was concerned with an earthly kingdom. Can we go to that, Nanus? All right, look at this. This is Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the what? The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And then look what it says. Upon the throne of David, who is king of Israel, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, that government. He's going to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even how long? So he's going to have an eternal kingdom on this earth. And it's going to be the throne of David established forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's go to the next one. Daniel 2:44. Look what Daniel said. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these, talking about earthly kingdoms. And it, that is God's kingdom, shall stand how long?
Forever.
So do you see how prophecy dealt with an earthly kingdom? It dealt with an earthly governmental kingdom. There was a government that would be established on this earth. Prophecy called for it from way back. All right? But now go to the right side of your chart. Notice the time period that we're living in today, the mystery. You don't see Paul talking about that. But rather, the mystery time period of today is concerned with a heavenly body, a living organism. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 1. It's concerned with a heavenly body. Hey, is God reclaiming political governments today? Yes or no? I mean, is that what he's doing? Is God reclaiming, or are the political governments of this earth corrupt today? Huh? They're corrupt. Is God called us to try to reform all the governments of the earth today? Is that our job? Is that our mission? No, but he's going to do that one day. Christ, through the nation of Israel, is going to establish a kingdom, and all the corrupt governments of the world will be replaced by Christ's government on this earth. But that's not our mission today. That's not what we're about. Today, we're concerned with a heavenly body. We're trying to get folks saved and get them to be not part of a political organization. We're trying to get folks to be part of a heavenly body, a living organism called the church, the body of Christ. Aren't you thankful when you witness to somebody and they get saved, they become one with Jesus Christ? And so they become part of that body, the body of Christ. That's what God's concerned with today. All right, let's go to the next thing. Number two, prophecy, that prophetic program, is going to reach its culmination on earth. The prophetic program is going to reach its culmination on earth. All right, let's bring it up, Donis. All right, look at this. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, capital B, and a king, talking about Jesus, shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice where? Come on, a little bit louder. Where? In the earth. Do you see how prophecy called? It's going to culminate. It's going to reach its fulfillment on earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So the prophetic program, it is going to reach its culmination on the earth. Christ is going to return to the earth. And he's going to establish Israel's kingdom on the earth. Now, let's look over to the right hand side there. I'm sorry. Now go to the next passage. I got another one. All right, this is Matthew. Jesus is instructing the 12. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. In the prophetic program, Christ is going to return, and He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. He's going to replace the corrupt governments of this earth with His political government. The government will be on His shoulder. And so it reaches its culmination here on earth. He comes back to the earth and establishes that government. All right, look at the right-hand side. Notice today the mystery, it reaches its culmination in heaven. It reaches its culmination in heaven. We read Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. But let's go to, flip over with me to the next book, Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians. And go over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at verse number 20. Philippians 3, 20. It says, for our conversation, that if you look up that word, it's going to show the word citizenship. Conversation speaks of your life. It speaks of your identity. So our conversation, class, our identity, our citizenship is where? In heaven. From whence also we're looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Go to the right, a couple of books, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice, Paul instructs the Thessalonian church here to be looking for this also from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. But at this event, we are caught up and we meet Him in the air. We literally are going to be raptured up to Satan's base of operations, his stomping grounds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He descends and He catches us up, and we, the body of Christ, we are going to fill those positions, those governmental those heavenly governmental positions. We are going to fill those governmental positions that right now are being occupied by Satan's host. And we are going to basically replace them with Christ's righteousness. And we are going to rule and reign as His body in those heavenly places. That's why we're caught up to meet Him in the air. Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. We're going to literally be raptured up and caught up right in the middle of Satan's stomping ground. And we are going to be literally put on display for Satan to be able to see and witness and behold who it is that God is going to use to reclaim those heavenly places back under the authority of Jesus Christ. Aren't you excited to be a part of that? Man, I'm excited to be a part of that. You know? And that was a mystery, see? So everybody knew the prophetic plan. He's going to come. Everybody's going to see Him. Every eye will behold Him. Israel's going to mourn. And He's going to come back. And He's going to rule and reign on this earth. Prophecy reaches its culmination with Jesus Christ coming. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He dismounts. He comes off the Mount of Olives, marches into Jerusalem, and He will rule and reign, which we'll look at here in a moment. But right here, the Bible says the body of Christ, we're caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He comes in the clouds. Number three, in the prophetic program, number three, Christ is king over an earthly kingdom. Christ is king over an earthly kingdom. And when you write that in, look up here, Zechariah 14:9, if we could bring it up. Notice it says, Zechariah prophesied. Remember, the prophetic program has been talked about. That's why it's called prophecy. It's been prophesied. He said, the prophet Zechariah said, the Lord, this is after verse 4 where it talks about how He comes off the Mount of Olives, and the Lord shall be king over all the what? Earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and His name one. You see, the prophetic program involves Christ ruling as King over this earth. But look over to the right. And notice in the mystery program for today, Christ is head over a heavenly body. He's head over a heavenly body. Absolutely, we understand that He is King of Kings. We know that. We know He's King of Kings. We know that He's going to show Himself to be the King of Kings one day. But yet, Paul is not preoccupied with that. He recognizes it. He knows it. But yet, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ as head. Go to Colossians. Go back one book to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He's head over a heavenly body. All right, let's go to our chart again. And the prophetic program number 4 has been prophesied since the world began. Now, we've already looked at this, so I'm not going to belabor this. It's been prophesied and talked about since the world began. You see the scripture references there. You can look all these up this week. I hope you will. All right, look to the right side of your chart. Notice the mystery program has been kept secret since the world began. So the mystery has been kept secret. Prophecy, that's been prophesied since the world began. Number 5, Israel enjoys supremacy over the Gentile nations in the prophetic program. Israel will enjoy supremacy over the Gentile nations. They are the channel of blessing to go out to the Gentiles. Look at the screen and let's bring it up. Isaiah 60, look at this. It says, "And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings," talking about the Gentiles' kings, "shall minister unto thee," Israel. "For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee." Let's keep going. "For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore, thy gates," he tells Israel, "your gates will be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee," to Israel, "the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee," that won't serve Israel, "shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." We see that. Matthew 25, he comes back, brings the nations before him, separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep are the ones that recognize Israel's position. The goats are the ones that don't and rebel against it, and they persecute the Jews. So we see Israel is going to have supremacy over the Gentile nations. Let's go to the next verse, Adonis. Look at this one, Isaiah 61:6. He says, "But ye shall be named," talk about Israel. Look at this. "Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." So in the prophetic program, Israel will be the channel of blessing to the Gentiles. And Israel will have supremacy. They'll be the head of the nations. The kingdom of Christ will be established through Israel. But now look at the mystery in your notes. And notice that today, in the mystery, there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. No difference. The Bible, Paul said there is no difference today. The same Lord is rich in mercy to both. They're equal. The Bible says there's no difference. The same Lord is rich over unto all that call upon Him. All right, let's go to the next one. Number 6, Gentiles are blessed through Israel's rise. Gentiles are blessed through Israel's rise in the prophetic program when Christ returns to earth. Look at the screen up here, Isaiah 2:2-3. Look at this one. Isaiah prophesied and said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's host shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." And then it goes on to say, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, And let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice how Gentiles are blessed through the rise of the nation of Israel in the kingdom. But now notice today, number six in the mystery, Gentiles are blessed through Israel's fall. Israel falls. Israel is cast away, but Paul said that means the riches of the Gentiles. So today we're blessed through their fall. Number seven, in the prophetic program, it's concerned with Christ's rule on earth. It's concerned with Christ's rule on earth. Let's go ahead and bring that up on the screen. Great. Now let's go to the verse. All right, Donis, if we could go to that. Zechariah 14. Look at this. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Let's go ahead and go on. It says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. So the prophetic program is concerned with Christ's rule on earth. But let's go over to the right side of the chart. Today in the mystery, it's concerned with Christ's position in heaven. It's concerned with Christ's position in heaven. All right, I'll just give you these last two quickly and then we got to go. Number eight, the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed in the prophetic program. That's what they're looking for, an earthly kingdom. The mystery, time period today, the gospel of the grace of God is proclaimed. Paul didn't proclaim an earthly kingdom. You're not going to see it. Now, Paul would mention the kingdom because the kingdom itself, the kingdom, involves the heaven and the earth. Christ's kingdom, as we saw, will involve a rule and reign in heaven and a rule and reign on earth. So we can take his rule in heaven and his rule on earth, and we can place all that under the word kingdom. But as far as the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that the kingdom's going to come to earth, you do not see Paul preaching that. You do not see. He preaches the gospel of the grace of God. All right? Number nine. I gave you that. All right, number nine, last thing. The gospel of the kingdom is committed to the 12 apostles. Remember, there's going to be 12 tribes. The 12 apostles are going to rule and reign over those 12 tribes. Well, number nine, on the right side there, the mystery today, the gospel of the grace of God was committed to primarily one man, Paul. One body today, one apostle. But in the kingdom, there'll be 12 tribes, 12 apostles. Now, look up here just a moment, and we're going to be done. When you confuse those, by the way, do you all see the difference in the two programs? Amen. Say amen if you see that. I mean, it's very clear, isn't it? Now, if I take a promise that involves the prophetic program, and I try to apply that to today, is that going to work? Yes or no? It's not going to work. Why? It wasn't made to me. You see, you have got to understand this. It's the most important division in the Bible because most false doctrine comes by a misappropriation of prophetic doctrine trying to shove it over here into the mystery time period. And when you do that, you end up with false doctrine. Oh, it's in the Bible. You got chapter and verse, but you're misappropriating it. You're taking it out of context. And that's very, very dangerous. What's the name of this class? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to make the distinctions that God makes. That's all it is. There's no big secret here. All we're doing is we're just making the distinctions that God's word makes, and we're recognizing them for what they are, and we're not trying to make them something they're not. We're just saying we recognize the difference. We recognize the fact that Peter, the book of Acts, doesn't record Peter and the 12 going to all the nations preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's not what we see. We see that program being set aside. We see Paul being raised up in Acts 9, and then he's the one that dominates the rest of the book. And then the next 13 books he writes. Why? Because there was a mystery that God revealed, and he raised up a separate apostle, Paul, to reveal that mystery, to make it known, to reveal the doctrine for us today, to reveal what our belief system should be, how the church should function, how it should run while it's here on earth until we're the one church in heaven that's gathered together to meet him in the air. So all that instruction comes from our apostle, from Paul. But if you try to run to Isaiah to get instruction for today, you're going to be in trouble. See? Now, we say we learn from all the Bible. All the Bible, we learn from it. It edifies us, it's such a help to us. And we read and we're admonished and we're encouraged. But if we don't rightly divide it, all we are is confused. You know, we get confused and we get discouraged. But when you begin to see the distinctions and you understand those things, then the Bible can be that blessing that God intended it for it to be to you. It can be profitable to you. But you've got to understand all the Bible's written for you, for you. It's all written for you, but it's not all written directly to you. And when you begin to understand that and you begin to know, okay, hey, I know where to go in that book to find doctrine for today. And I know where it's at. I know where to find it. I know how to derive it. Well, then, all of a sudden now, the Bible is just, it's such a blessing. Because now I'm able to understand that and see that. And I'm not over here taking a promise in Jeremiah and standing on that promise and then wondering why it doesn't work. Like God said, you know. When I understand the difference between prophecy and the mystery, if you can get this, man, you will be on your way to years of fruitful Bible study and sharing the Word of God with other people and helping other people that are doctrinally confused, helping them to understand. See, a lot of people, they don't understand the mystery. And because they don't understand the mystery, that God's not dealing with the world today on the basis of Israel. And they don't see that, they don't understand it, and so they're just confused all the time. Aren't you thankful that we can understand? Is the Bible a book to be understood? Yes. It's a book to be understood. God wants you to understand.